first reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39. Consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you all like to stand for the gospel reading? Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, I pray that you would use my words this morning, and pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak into our hearts the things that you would speak to us individually today. Amen. Would you like to take your seat? So obviously, as we know, today is a very significant day in the history of Remembrance Day. And I'm sure we'll be aware from everything we've seen in the media that it's 100 years, very shortly, in the next 45 minutes, that the guns fell silent at the end of the Great War. Supposedly, the war to end all wars. And the grim reality is that it was an incredibly costly war on every side. Many families were affected. You hear stories of parents losing every son that was sent to war. And we even have a reminder of that here. I remember when I first arrived and Betty told me about the window there, which is in memory of a young man, the only son of some parents who was sent to war, never to return, died in the Great War. And his parents, Betty tells me, came and sat there every single week, week after week, next to the memorial window for their son, hopefully finding some comfort in God in amongst their great tragedy. So it's a very close to home thing as well, and some of us may know people who have served. We may have had family members. I know when I look at my family tree, I had a great-great-grandfather who served in the Great War. I had a great-grandfather who was a Japanese prisoner of war and came back from the Second World War, but actually succumbed to the injuries in his experience. We've probably got, if we went round the room, personal stories. I know people of my generation that went to Kosovo, that went to Iraq. So it can also be a very personal thing rather than the many that we hear of that died. And I've already said the Great War was supposedly the war to end all wars. And I went onto the Imperial War Museum website this week, and it said this. You know, as I say, in the light of the war to end all wars, military conflict took place during every year of the 20th century. There were only short periods of time that the world was free of war. And this is a shocking statistic. The total number of deaths caused by war in the 20th century has been estimated at 187 million. And is probably higher. And the website then lists 17 wars that were fought by British and Commonwealth soldiers since the end of World War I, since the end of the war to end all wars. And today we remember the dedication, the sacrifice of our armed forces. Many of us may question some or all of the wars. I was talking this morning with my husband, and we were saying, you know, the Second World War, we feel is really clear cut that it was the right thing to do, to stand up against fascism and all that was going on in Nazi Germany and other places across the world. There are other wars, as we will know more recently, have been more controversial, and there's great sort of political debate about them. But today we honour those people that have gone and served their country. There's been the whole white poppy debate that we've seen and the division that that's caused, including the social media. Myself, it will be a red one. And I read a tweet this week as we think about today, a really helpful tweet from somebody. She said, just a reminder that the point of Remembrance Sunday isn't to celebrate that people died or even to celebrate the people who did die, but to remember how horrific their deaths were and commit to that never happening again. Don't prettify it as a poppy festival. And today what we are doing is remembering. Today we are remembering and honouring their sacrifice. And what are we doing? We are striving for a peaceful world. And we express, I think, every year when we come to this point, we express that term, never again. But the war to end all wars, in reality wasn't the war to end all wars. And we saw from our gospel reading, it says in there that there will be wars and rumours of wars. There will be nation rising against nation. And as the ex-dean of Durham Cathedral put in a blog that I read this week, the unfinished business of war casts a long shadow. The unfinished business of war casts a long shadow. Its victims, like the poor, are always with us. So today, as we remember and we honour those that have died, as we honour the dedication of our armed forces, as we remember those that are living or lived with the scars of war, both physically and mentally, I asked myself the question this week, how then as Christians do we live in the light of this? Of course we should be those that strive for peace, that strive for justice. We need to be those, and I think it's really pertinent at this time in what we see going on around the world, what we see in the media, that we are people who stand against division. We are people who stand up against scapegoating. We are people that seek reconciliation. And it says, as we turn on the news day by day by day, it is frightening to see the rise of nationalism that's going on around the world. And we need to be people who are working for peace, justice, reconciliation, that we will say no to the scapegoating. And we mustn't forget that just 20 years after the Peace of Armistice Day, we had the Holocaust and World War II. There are all sorts of reasons for this, and any of you that have studied history, I'm sure many of us did it in school, will know that actually run up to World War II after World War I was very complex, and how we treat the losers or the aggressors of war can actually be very significant going forward to what happens. So I really feel today that we must be people in our current political climate that refuse to be drawn into the scapegoating that goes on. How did a nation end up where a nation ended up in Nazi Germany? We've got to be a people who stand for peace, who stand for reconciliation, who refuse to be drawn into the scapegoating of people in society. Refuse to allow certain groups to be excluded and stand against the worrying tide of anti-Semitism that we see, and we even see it in our own political parties. We have to be those people that stand up for justice, that stand against division and stand against any of the isms that we see in our day. I think we've not got to be naive that those things can never happen again. As I said, you know, no longer than 20 years, you had the events of Kristallnacht and the Second World War after the war to end all wars. But given this situation, given the situation that there will be wars and rumours of wars, the scripture that we heard said that, how do we approach this? As I've said, we want to do all that we can to be peacemakers and agents of reconciliation. We need to be realistic that we live in that time between the kingdom coming in Jesus and the kingdom fully to be fulfilled when he comes again. But that doesn't mean that we stand back. As Christians, we need to make a stand. We need to live differently in our age, in our moment. The Christians in Nazi Germany, when I was doing my A-levels, I did a study on the church's response to Hitler. And there are countless heroes, the likes of Pastor Niebuhr and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, those Christians that stood up in their time and were different. They lived differently. Did they end all the horrors that were happening? No. But they made a difference where they were. And we too can do that. We can make a difference by standing for justice, by not excluding, by not going down the road of scapegoating, whether that's in political Brexit or anti-Brexit, whether that's blaming a particular culture or whatever it is. We need to live differently. And I say that the heroes, the Christians in Nazi Germany that did that, like Bonhoeffer, are real heroes of mine. So how then do we live? As we reflect on war, And honestly, we're reflecting on war past, present, and unfortunately, there will be wars future. But in this, as Christians, we need to remember that we are a resurrection people. We are a people of hope. It's really easy to read that, isn't it? There will be wars and rumours of wars and sort of just go, oh my goodness, this is terrible. It's all a disaster. And actually, as we stop and we remember, the horrors of war are really, really real. But the reading in Romans 8 said this: we are to consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Now, this isn't to diminish the great suffering of war. It isn't to say that it doesn't matter. It does matter. Those lives, the life of that young man and the impact on his parents for the rest of their life matters. But as Christians, we also remember that we have a glorious future. The Romans passage said, "For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And there are great promises in Scripture, particularly in Isaiah, where it talks about the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. It talks about nothing on God's holy mountain will be hurt or destroyed. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Well, for those of us that were here last week, Louisa reminded us of the great vision in Revelation 21. It's no triumphalistic statement. It's not a waving of the flags and everything is okay. Everything's not okay. War is not okay. Suffering is not okay. Scapegoating and the isms are not okay. Pain and suffering is real. And we pause to acknowledge the real pain and the real suffering that has gone on and continues to go on. But as a resurrection people, we live with hope. We live with hope that one day God will dwell with his people. That one day God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That one day death and war will be no more. There will be no more mourning and crying. And pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. So today, on the very, very significant day, we do this every year, but today seems particularly poignant and significant, we take time to stop. We take time to reflect. We take time to honour and pay our respects to those who have died, serving in the national, in the different services that we have in this nation, and serving in places around the world. We acknowledge and honour and pay respect to those who lived, and not only those who died, but those who lived and carry the physical and the psychological consequences of war. We acknowledge the great cost, pain and suffering of war, and the reality of the broken, fallen world that we live in. But we ask ourselves also, will we be those who stand up in our day? Will we be those that work for peace, that work for justice, that work for reconciliation, that refuse to be drawn into the divisions that we see, particularly in politics and in our society? Will we be those that stand against division, racism and scapegoating? But also, as we reflect and remember, we also look and remember that we are a people of resurrection hope. We trust in a God who will finally defeat all injustice, will finally end all pain, and a God who will see to it that wars will cease. Human beings failed to secure a war to end all wars. But when Christ returns, in the words of C.S. Lewis, there will be a final battle, and the war to end all wars will be completed. Amen.